Thanks for tuning in to the Drive On podcast, where we're focused on giving hope and strength to the entire military community. Whether you're a veteran, active duty, guard, reserve, or a family member, this podcast will share inspirational stories and resources that are useful to you. I'm your host, Scott DeLuzio, and now let's get on with the show. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Drive On podcast. Today, my guest is Brandon Roman. Brandon works with Face It Together, which is an addiction resource center that works to help get people with addiction and their loved ones well again. So welcome to the show, Brandon. Why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself and your background?
Well, first, I'd like to say thank you for having me. Well, my name is Brandon Roman. I served in the Army for 7.5 years. In that time, I deployed once to Afghanistan back in 2018. I work for an organization called Face It Together. I recently started working here about a year ago. And we work with people who are struggling with addiction and their loved ones. My main focus was to get other people who struggled with this addiction, whether it be a substance or alcohol, to get well as I did. I went on my journey of wellness and sobriety back in 2019, the year after my deployment. I have been well ever since. So I'm going on my third year now. I am a father of four. And really, I just really love the field of addiction and helping people who struggled just like I have. And I have a really soft spot for other veterans because I understand how difficult it is for us to feel comfortable to get that help. So that's really where my passion lies in my career field.
And that's great, because I think a lot of veterans probably feel uncomfortable with reaching out to get help. You know, it's whether it's a sign of weakness or, you know, whatever it is, you know, which is not true, but, you know, there's that stigma, right, around all sorts of things, mental health treatment, drugs and alcohol, you know, treatments and, you know, all sorts of things. And so, you know, having someone like yourself who has literally, you know, walked the walk and now is talking the talk and is out there helping people, you know, I'd love to, you know, kind of hear your story a little bit and talk if you're okay with that. You know, kind of share what your journey was like, and what brought you to deciding to seek out the treatment that you ended up with.
Yeah, of course. I'm always willing to share my story. It's going to be a little bit long-winded because it starts off pretty young. But at the age of 16, I was a pretty rebellious teen, like most of us was at that age. And during that time, I actually got my first taste of alcohol and some drugs, marijuana mostly, and alcohol. During that time, my mom actually kicked me out when I was about 17 years old, told me I can't really do that anymore in her house, which is understandable. And she told me, you know, figure it out, but don't figure it out here. So I went to a place called Job Corps. If many people don't know, it's a trade school. Usually they have some on-campus opportunities. And at 16 years old, I went to that Job Corps. I graduated with a certification in brick masonry, but my addiction never really halted. I still was drinking and smoking during that time. And then after I got out of Job Corps, I was still a little too young to go into the brick masonry field. So I joined the military. At 17 years old, I enlisted and seen the movie Act of Valor, if I'm being specific. That was the movie that really made me gung-ho and really made me want to go get after it. So I watched that movie, went to the recruiter station and enlisted. And it wasn't until a month after my 18th birthday that I actually shipped out and went to basic training. But still during this time, my addiction never really halted. It just kind of subsided a little at the times that you couldn't drink, like in AIT or basic training and what others know as AIT. So I went and did hometown recruiting from there for a month or so. And that was when I had my first real situation with alcohol, I guess you would say, where I was got so drunk that I forgot to go to work in the military, which, as we all know, is not the greatest idea. So I was pretty heavily chastised, but I was given an attaboy pretty much at that time, which didn't really help, just kind of helped the influence. And then from there, later on, moving on into my military career, I was stationed at Fort Rainier, Alaska for about 3 years. And in there, I was an infantryman as well, if I didn't mention my MOS, but I was an infantryman. So a lot of people know that that MOS is embodied in the face of alcohol and you know, alcohol. We always said alcohol, caffeine and tobacco is what fuels us. So we lived that in Alaska, and I had some pretty wild and bad stories back then, and took off back in 2016. My ex-wife, I moved to Fort Wainwright, Alaska, from Fort Wainwright, Alaska to Fort Carson. And then in 2016, during that time, my ex-wife pretty much said she had enough. She up and left and took my oldest daughter now, took her and went to California. And that's when my alcoholism really, really ballooned. At that point, I was drinking about a fifth a day and a 12 pack to wash it down, just to kind of be numb to the whole situation. I lived in the sober Runday Mondays, as they call it, you know, where you're supposed to sweat out all that alcohol. Well, I did that pretty much all 5 days in the week, at every PT session. And then she did return, for a short period of time. And then I did deploy. My alcoholism never really slowed down. But then I did deploy back in 2018, where I had that full year or full 9 months of sobriety. But during that 9 months, it wasn't really, I always say that it's not really, it wasn't really a sober point for me. It was a break. It wasn't me wanting to get well. It was me not having the opportunity to use, which for a lot of us who have deployed, we understand that was one of the first things that we do when we got home, which I was no exception to that rule. So I got home and continued to use. At one point in time, I had a really, really great lieutenant who was my XO. He's a really, really good guy, still a good friend of mine, who acknowledged that, hey, man, you have a problem. I also acknowledged it, but I was in fear. I understood the ASAP program at the time. I believe it's changed now, but I believe the ASAP program at the time was counterproductive. I was scared to go into it and then be chastised for failing. So I just kind of ate it, right? I ate the addiction. I dealt with it how I dealt with it. And in 2019, I finally admitted that I really, really needed some help. Through the help of myself, and a couple of friends and my ex-wife at the time, I decided to do it cold turkey. Cause again, I was scared of reaching out and getting that help that so many of us really, really need. In January of 2020, I exited the military. I ETS and I began my journey as a civilian, which was a very difficult time. During that time, you know, COVID had hit literally the month after I got out, and there's a whole bunch of other things that happened. But I hung strong. I'm still hanging on strong now. And then I found this job opportunity to reach out and help other veterans and other people like myself, just reach this level of wellness. So that's kind of my story. That's kind of what got me here. I'm always free and willing to share that story. But yeah, it's fairly similar to a lot of other veterans like myself.
Yeah, and you know, I think that's why I wanted to ask you to share the story if you were comfortable doing so, because you know, there's probably other people who might be listening to this episode right now, and they might hear a little bit of themselves in that story. They you know, obviously everyone has their own journey, their own story. Every situation's kind of unique, but you might hear some similarities in your story versus their story and everything. And you know, looking at you now, now 3 years later, you know, it's something that's possible, and it's something that you can do. Maybe not the exact same steps that you took. Maybe that's not going to work for somebody else, but the possibility is there. And I like having that there because that gives someone hope and saying, you know, I feel like I'm throwing things away. My marriage is falling apart. My kids don't want to talk to me, or whatever, you know, whatever the situation is. But, you know, if they realize that there is some hope out there for them, then maybe they can repair that marriage. Maybe they can, you know, build a better relationship with their kids and their family and their coworkers and their friends and everything like that. You know, there's hope. So, so I'm glad that you were able to share that story. Now tell us about Face It Together. What is that organization all about? You know, kind of where did it get started? What's the mission? Things like that.
So Face It Together is a really unique organization because we are one of the few who also focus on loved ones as well. But back in 2009, a great man decided that he wanted to help people who are struggling with addiction like himself and get this organization put together. And they did. They started in South Dakota and it kind of blossomed. Our goal is to use the data that we actually receive. So we use what is what we call a RCI. We use the RCI and it's pretty much a questionnaire that kind of tells us about you, your journey, what your level of life is like. And then from there, we focus on that. We focus on those areas in your life. We're not focusing on your addiction. We're focusing on what it is to get you well. What are the things that put you in the position that make you struggle? And how can we better those situations to ultimately help with your addiction? So a perfect example of it, you know, we have people who come in from all walks of life, from Fortune 500 company employees to, you know, people who are, you know, homeless and really struggling, right? And each one of them have, you know, fairly similar situations, right? They're stressful from work or, you know, home life or finances, right? And we'll focus on those things. We focus on the finance portion of your life, you know. Hey, let's better get you a job. You know, let's focus on you know, building your resume and doing those things. Because if that's one of the main reasons why you're using, if that's one of the main reasons why you're leaning towards a substance, let's focus on that. We're not going to tell you not to use. We're not going to tell you don't struggle. You know, we're not going to tell you cut it all off, right? We're going to focus on those things that ultimately guide you to your own level of wellness, whatever wellness level that is. We're not a 12-step program. We focus on a harm reduction approach. So, you know, whatever your level of using is, you know, whether you're using a fifth of a bottle a day and you want to cut it down to just a beer at dinner, if that's what your goal is, that's what we're working to achieve. And during that time that we're achieving that, we're fixing, you know, and working on things like your marital issues, right? We're working on things like your relationship with your children, working on communication skills and things like that. That really does help other loved ones or other PWAs or persons with addictions really get themselves to a better and clearer place. And that's always our goal. And as far as loved ones go, I'm also a loved one coach. I'm a PWA and a loved ones coach as addiction has run rampant through my family, to include myself. With loved ones, we really just want you to focus on you getting better, right? And a big thing that I always tell our loved ones is, hey, when the ship is going down or when the plane is going down, right? And they tell you, put your mask on first. They tell you that for a reason, because if you're out here trying to put everyone else's mask on and you pass out, no one gets their mask put on. And that's ultimately what we focus on with the loved one is, hey, what are you doing to take care of yourself? Are you doing the things that you still love and you still enjoy and not putting their addiction before your own needs? And with the combination of using, you know, that loved one's approach, with the combination of focusing on the PWA approach and just focusing on taking care and better care of yourself and others around you, it's a great 1-2 punch that really, really hits home and really sticks with our loved ones and our PWAs, because they understand that, you know, through their addiction, they still have a life. And their loved ones understand that, hey, through this addiction, I still have a life. I still have things. I still have things that I need to care about, and people who love me and people who still need my attention. And that's what I really love to focus on. I say it every day in every meeting that we have a meeting just about every other Tuesday we have one. And I say it every time. I really love my job. I thoroughly enjoy it because of the people that I work with, and everyone's mission here is to get people well. There's no ulterior motive. There's no, you know, we hate you or, you know, we hate addiction. No, we understand what addiction has done to our community. We understand that it is a majority of people who struggled with it at some point in time, whether it be themselves or it be their loved ones. We understand that. And that's how we approach it. We approach it with love and caring and kindness. And I think it really sticks and works with our loved ones.
Yeah. And I like the holistic approach that you take to this, where you're looking at the causes of, you know, what is causing someone to cope the way they're coping by using these substances, whether it's alcohol or whatever. You know, is it finances, or is it their job or their family life or whatever it is? Let's focus on that, and let's try to get to the root of the cause, because you can wean someone off of using something, but if the root of the cause, why they turn to that substance in the first place, isn't being addressed, then either they're going to fall back to whatever it was that they were using, or find something else to, you know, numb that pain or get them through whatever it is that they're going through. So I like that holistic approach. It's not just focused on the substance that they're using. It's focused on that big picture. And then also, you know, working with the loved ones, you're absolutely right with that, that analogy that you used with the plane, with the masks coming down. If you can't take care of yourself, how could you possibly expect that you're going to take care of somebody else? So that's a perfect analogy. And I've used that several times myself with various things, but you do really have to look out for yourself, in order to be able to help out somebody else. It's even the same in the military, you know, being an infantry guy, you know this as well, where, you know, if you got someone who is, you know, out in the open and they got shot or something like that, you can't go run and just go grab them, right? And drag them to safety as much as you want to. You got to take care of, whatever that threat was, the sniper or the whatever it was, the enemy that was shooting at them. You got to take care of that first before you can go help that other person, because otherwise you're just going to be laying there too. And then somebody else is going to have to put their neck out there to try to save you too. So, it really is important to first off take that holistic approach with the individuals, but also, working with the loved ones, I think is important as well, so that they can be of use to help their loved one get through whatever they're going through. So what can someone expect from Face It Together, from that, maybe that initial outreach, that the first time they reach out and make a phone call to Face It Together, through the whole process? Could you walk us through that? Like, what is it that you do with them, and how is it that you help?
Yeah, of course. So that first initial phone call, you're going to be greeted by one of our many coaches slash our first impressions team. So that first impression team is going to be the first people that you meet. And as their name says, they're going to give you their first impression of Face It Together. And they're just immediately going to bring you positivity, right? That's our main focus, is always positivity. So they're going to greet you with some positivity. They're going to give you as much information on answer whatever questions you might have as far as financial issues or anything like that. We are grant funded, and depending on many locations, we service all areas of all 50 states of the United States. We even have a couple of members up in Canada. So we service pretty much everywhere. So we're grant funded, and we'll. You know, be able to get you squared away however we can if finances are an issue. So you know, a mass majority, I can't quote the percentage because I'm not the data person, but the mass majority of our members is taken care of through grants. So that's one of the first things that most people's questions are when they call in is, do I have to pay for this? So that's the first question. And then the second thing is they get to know you. Right. They want to know what brings you here. They ask you the same question that you asked me, you know, hey, what's your story? What brings you here? What are you willing to share? And you know, from rain, it ranges from, hey, I just want help to, hey, you know, I had this DUI case and I have questions to ask about how to get through, you know, dealing with this DUI. Right. Hey, no worries, right? We don't judge, it's a non-judgmental place. And then from there, we'll send you out a few emails. And in one of those emails, it's a few assessments. And in those assessments, it's going to build this profile for you, right? Where what we talked about earlier, that RCI, we'll build that together. And you'll go through, answer about a 60 question questionnaire, and it asks you about your addiction and what you're struggling with. For loved ones, it asks you about your role in the addiction and what it looks like for you, right? So their RCI is different than what our PWAs are, but more or less they have about the same amount of questions. And then from there, in those questions, you'll answer all those deep questions, however deeply you want to answer. And it gives us a score. And it gives us a cognitive score. I like to tell people that this number is quantifiable. And this is the number that we'll use moving forward to help show you exactly where you were in life and where you are now. Because a lot of times, right, how many times have you thought to yourself, man, you know, things are going really great, better than last month. But like, I can't really tell you how or where or what it is that I'm better at, but I feel a little bit better. Well, we put a number to it. We put data to it. We show you, hey, you answered this question like this last month, you know, and you know, this was your score. You got a 75 last month. Hey, this month you're rocking an 88, right? You're doing, this is how much better you've gone from this time to this time. And we'll you know, you complete that score. And then after that, you'll do the wellness consult. You'll then next week or another couple of days, depending on what your scheduling looks like, and when we can get you squeezed in. But usually it's within that week that we can get you in. Now, whether or not you want to or not, but we can squeeze you in right there. And you'll sit down with that same person that you talked with in your first impressions group. And you'll do what we call a wellness consult. In that wellness consult, they'll go over that score that I just talked about. And then they pair you up with a coach that matches your story. Right. We have coaches that range from experiencing meth to marijuana to alcohol to opiates to the court and legal system, just the entire thing, you know. Members, coaches who have been in prison and actually have gone through the system. So we have a wide range of coaches who are going to be able to match you up with, I don't like to say that they match you up with your experience because everyone's experience is different, but they match you up with a similar story. And from there, you'll get scheduled again, but this time you'll get scheduled with that individual coach. And that coach will reach out to you within that week of your next scheduled appointment, and you know, just kind of touch bases. And then from there, you guys start your coaching. You'll sit down and you talk about your story, talk about what your goals are. Everyone's coaching styles are different. I like to set goals and things ahead. So personally, I can only talk about how I start my first sessions. You know, I tell you, hey, you know, What are three goals that you have? What are a goal that you have with your life right now? And then they'll tell me that. And then I ask them, what is one goal outside of your addiction that you want to achieve? And that's because I want you to focus on something else. I want you to be goal oriented towards something positive. And that can be anywhere from, you know, hey, I want to open up my own business to, hey, you know, I want to finally get my license and, you know, learn to drive and all those things, right? Whatever that goal is, that's what we will focus on. And we'll do that through straight positivity and communication skills and all of those things that come with it. But that's kind of how it looks like. And usually, depending on situation, depending on crisis of member, sometimes you're in a crisis mode and some things are really hitting the fan and you just really need to get in. But usually that happens within that week. So if you come in on Monday, you know, by Friday, depending on availability for yourself, boom, we can get you in. And anywhere in between there, depending on how severe your crisis mode is or your crisis situation is. So that's how it looks for us. Yeah.
Cool. And so this doesn't sound like it's exactly like a medical treatment necessarily. It's more like a support network of sorts, right? Is that kind of along the lines of what it is?
Yeah, of course. So all of our coaches, and you'll notice I call them coaches because none of us are, we're not psychologists. We're not certified in that way. But we all speak from personal experience. So all of our coaches have only experiences that we speak through. So if you are, and I'm always a big supporter of mental health and clinicians and things like that. So if that's what you want your services to be in, you know, hey, we're going to guide you to that, right? We're going to, you know, in your coaching sessions or when you're even in the first impressions team or in your wellness consult, hey, you know, I want to find a good therapist in my area, right? We'll do our due diligence, right? We will look up areas that take your insurance or whatever the case may be. And we will get you directed to the right place. And that goes for inpatient treatment facilities as well, right? Some people, you know, they come here and their goal is to go from here to getting into inpatient treatment, right? So, hey, what does that look like? If that's what your goal is, that's where you want to go, we're set to give you the resources that we have available to get you to that right place. We're great at helping people and I love what I do, but I understand that there is never too much help. So, you know, you can always go, you know, if you want to try an AA meeting, if you want to go to an Al-Anon meeting or whatever the case may be, hey, we got you. Here's one that's in the area. You know, hey, here's a team member. We actually have a community liaison here who isn't a coach, but has her own story of addiction that she struggled with. And she goes to active meetings all the time. Right. And, you know, hey, I have a member who wants to go to a meeting here in Colorado. Hey, you know, I have a member who wants to go to a meeting for you. Hey, here you go. Here's all of the meetings in your area, right? So we're not just limited to what we do here. We don't need to be partnered with someone to send you to somewhere, right? Our only goal is to get you to where you want to be. And whatever that looks like is what we want to achieve for you.
Yeah, and I think that's good too, because it keeps the doors open for these various other resources that, you know, may seem like it's the right way to go for a certain individual. So I like that. That's kind of that collaborative effort. Like you said, there can't be too much help out there, right? So you know, the more options that are available that are left on the table to jump into, I think the better. And that sounds like exactly what you guys are doing. And it's really just, you know, sometimes I think with some of the people that listen to this podcast and some of the people that I've talked to, it's really just a matter of education. Like if they don't know that a certain option even exists, then they may just not research and look to see if that thing exists, because it's like, why would you? If it's something that in your mind doesn't exist, why are you going to look to see if it exists? Because it doesn't exist, right? So so now if we plant that seed and talk about organizations like Face It Together or other organizations that are out there, and you guys have some resources that you may be aware of that are in a certain local area, and then you can plant those seeds too and say, hey, look, you know, maybe this is what you're looking for, right? I think the more resources that we have available, the just overall the better, right? I know you talked a little bit about your story and how you've gone through your addiction and recovery process, but do you have any other success stories that you'd be able to share? You know, obviously not sharing names and yeah. You know, breaking confidentiality and all that kind of stuff, but you know, do you have any success stories that you could share about people who've gone through this process and came out on the other side, you know, in a better place, you know, meeting their goals?
Yes, of course. So I have a couple of success stories. Quite a bit. Some of them are so personal that I probably can't share too much without it giving away who the person is. A perfect example is one of my very, very first members here that I started with at Basic Together. She was a loved one. Her son struggled with heroin injecting. So she had dealt with overdoses. She had dealt with car stealings and wallets gone, like just the stereotypical addiction story that you hear from many, many loved ones, right? And she was fed up. She was tired. She was compassion fatigued. She was pretty much just ready to wipe her hands with the whole situation. We talked just about twice a week, once at what we call our craft meetings here at Face Together, which I also run, and then another time with our own individual meetings. And in those meetings, we discussed every day, you know, every time, every meeting, we discussed how can we better communicate to him? How can we better understand what he's going through? How can we, you know, love him regardless of his disease and understand that the disease is the thing that we were fighting against together, right? And just recently, she had kind of gotten really busy. Things kind of went its ways and she kind of stepped away from coaching for a month or two, which happens sometimes, life gets ahead of us. But she continued what we talked about all the time. And she reached out to me, and she said, "Hey, I have one more session that I want to have. And you know, I just want to talk to Roman and just catch him up on all the things." So we sat down and in this session, she, you know, we're talking and here comes in her son. Now her son had never wanted to anything to do with any coaching, anything to do with seeing me on camera, anything to do with talking to me, anything of the sorts. And he comes in and she stops and she says, "Hey, come in. Hey, come here, come talk to Roman." And in comes in this well kid, this guy, I say kid, but you know, he's well in his mid early 30s, right? In comes this guy, right? Smile on his face, gleaming, right? Happy as ever, right? And he comes in and he speaks to me and he says, "Hey, you know, how's it going?" Right. And we hold a conversation and I offer Face It Together to him. I say, "Hey, you know, whenever you're available, and whenever you're ready, you know, we're here. And I'd love to sit down and talk to you and catch up." And he walks away. She proceeds to tell me that he actually went to treatment the month before. And he was on his 30th day of being well. And she said he had many of times before he had tried this treatment process and we have talked about it. And many of times before he had, and he had not succeeded in the way that he was succeeding today. And she, you know, wanted to point that out and say, "Hey, you know, I really wanted to thank you personally for what you were able to talk to me about and walk me through this process. But, you know, it's never me that gets you through it. It's always you. I just always tell people I'm just an angel on your shoulder. And, you know, I just talk to you how you should be talked to. And you go and take those words and you make them into action." So words are nothing until they're placed into action. And that's what loved ones do. And that's one of my loved one stories. And I have several good loved one stories. And as far as a PWA story, I had a service member like ourselves. He came down and he had a very tragic accident that happened to him. It was severely tragic. It was one of those things that I hate to say it, but when you hear those kind of stories, you think to yourself, "Man, you know, I understand why you chose to drink, and I get it." And it was a very tragic accident, and because of that, he drank heavily, and we sat down and we set goals for ourselves. We said, "Hey, what's our goal for us? right? What do we want to accomplish? And he started to focus on himself. He continued to drink for a good portion of our coaching, which was okay. But during that time, he started going to the gym. He lost some weight, some significant weight, so much weight that he had to get a new prosthetic because he lost so much weight that it no longer fit. So awesome, awesome story, right? Towards the end, I'm still currently actively talking to this member, but he's well. He's going on like 4 or 5 months of sobriety right now, where he's completely away from alcohol. And he left alcohol alone because he wanted to. We never set that goal. Our goal was to just get him to a better mental and happier place. We talked about getting him into the VA. We got him into the VA, got him seeing a psychologist. Got him talking to the right people, got himself ready to go. He's ready to get back into work. He was working for a pretty good organization that we're also partnered up with here. And he did all of those things and he did it on his own. And that's one of my PWA stories. There's many of stories that I have where I like this. There's several stories that I have where I even have a person who struggled with addiction who came in and she lost custody of her kids. And we were able to get her to a solid foundation where she wasn't using anymore. She was able to get some form of custody with her children and get her life together. She was, couch hopping at the time. And, she was able to get herself into a stable living environment. She ended up getting a job at Amazon. So she was really set in, and that happened over the year of time. So, I also have a wonderful story, and I mentioned a Fortune 500 company because I worked with a member who's pretty high up in one of the Fortune 500 companies out, and he struggled with alcohol, and he struggled silently. He struggled. No one else around him knew. No one else understood it. And this guy, probably $1 million in his bank account as we speak. And, he was talking to me and we set goals. And it was never to leave alcohol alone. It was to figure out why we chose the addiction that we chose and what could we do to not focus on that addiction anymore. So we set some goals for ourselves. We brought a bunch of NA beers. We tried a whole bunch of different NA beers and we tried a whole bunch of different non-alcoholic options just in general. What I always say, my favorite non-alcoholic beer drink is a gin and tonic with just seltzer water and a lime. Tastes horrendous, but it gives you that same sting. And he embodied that. And well within about 4 or 5 months of us talking, He reached out to me again and said, "Hey, I'm doing really well. Not that I don't appreciate what we do here, but hey, I got it from here." And that also happened. So, whether it be someone struggling with, homelessness and trying to get themselves off of the floor to, a veteran who's struggling with their own, demons and things that accidents and things that happen to them, to, another, a well-off, wealthier person who's struggling on his own and really trying to find his own balance. I have a story for pretty much all of them, and all of them found their own wellness.
Yeah, and I like that there are so many of these stories, and I'm sure there's more stories that you haven't even shared. And, and if we had the time for it, I'm sure we could sit through and go over all these stories, right? But, it shows that there's hope there, that there's something out there. And I like that first story with the loved one, the mother who reached out and she was kind of at her wit's end. She didn't know what to do. And through working with her, it seemed like, maybe this guy just didn't have the support he needed, at home, with his family to be successful in the treatment that he was pursuing. And, by helping out this mother figure out, how to be there for her son, that might have been the difference between, another failed treatment and being successful and getting through the whole process, and continuing to stay sober, you know, afterwards. So, I think there's many problems that people are dealing with. And, sometimes we just get so laser focused on the addiction side of it. We don't look at the big picture, like it seems like you guys are doing with, looking at their overall picture in their life, what's going on with their loved ones, what's going on with their job, what's going on with their finances, what's going on just in general in their life. And through pulling at those threads to kind of get to the core of what's going on, it seems like you're able to pinpoint some of the issues and get these people the help that they need, and lead them in that right direction so that they can kick this addiction if that's what their goal is, or, just get to a better place mentally. Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, you mentioned that you work with people all over the country, even in Canada. Do you have physical locations throughout the country, or are a lot of these like remote type things through like a Zoom or something like that?
So we have two physical locations. One in South Dakota, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. That is our founding location. That one sees probably the most amount of foot traffic. Here in Colorado Springs, we just opened up this physical location here in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and that opened up in last year, April of last year. So we're still getting some newer foot traffic here, but we have these two physical locations for people who want to do some in-persons, and in-persons are always welcome. In fact, they're encouraged because there's nothing like a face-to-face interaction, especially during, since we've had 2 years of lack thereof physical interaction. But if you're not comfortable with doing that, if you're not comfortable with seeing someone in person, if you're in a place of shame with your disease, which a lot of us has been, and you want to just do a phone call, we do phone calls. If you want to just do a video call, we do video calls, and however you want to get that level of wellness, we have those three different ways of communication to really help each other out.
Yeah, that's great. And having all those options available, even if someone's right down the street, but just doesn't want the face-to-face, that you still have the option to, jump on the phone or a video call or something like that. So I think that's great that there's a lot of options and that the service is available across the country. It doesn't matter where you're located. So as long as you have basically a phone or a computer or something that you can get access to, you basically could have this kind of consultation. So Brandon, it's been a pleasure speaking with you today. I'm glad that you came on and shared this resource with me, with the audience. Before we go, can you let people know where they can go to find out more about Face It Together and to be able to reach out and make that initial consultation, initial call to you guys?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So if you guys are interested in just learning a little bit more about Face It Together and what we do here, or you want to get started even, or you want to start or you want to look into it for your loved one or yourself, you can go to wefaceittogether.org. And if you're interested on getting started, there's a little green button up at the top. It's about as green as my shirt, but my shirt actually doesn't have any green on it. But it's a little green button up at the top. You press that green button and it'll direct you to all of the prompted information that we'll need to contact you. And then we'll reach out to you within 24 hours. And then if you're just wanting to learn a little bit more about Face It Together, we have coaches profiles on there. So you can read each individual coach's story, and find out what coach even matches you before you go and talk to your wellness, before you go talk to the First Impressions team and get your wellness consult. You can read all those profiles and all those things. And it has all the background you need to know about Face It Together and all that. We also offer craft meetings on Wednesdays, for loved ones. And that is directed and guided towards strictly getting our loved ones their loved one into their PWA into treatment. So if you're interested in that, you can click and go through our resources tab, and it should be in there as well. So if you're interested in joining Face Together, interested in wanting to learn a little bit more, we facetogether.org.
Perfect. And I'll have links to all of this in the show notes. So everyone who's listening now, you can go check out the show notes and find out more about Face It Together through their website. Again, Brandon, thanks for coming on the show. I really appreciate being able to chat with you and finding out more about what you guys are doing for addiction recovery.
Well, thank you, Scott. Thank you for having me. And to all those who are listening, thank you guys for spending the time listening to us. And I appreciate your time.
Thanks for listening to the Drive On Podcast. If you want to check out more episodes or learn more about the show, you can visit our website, driveonpodcast.com. We're also on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube at Drive On Podcast.